One of the things that makes control charts work is that central limit theorem. Now, it comes in handy in many, many circumstances when we're dealing with a sample of data and we're taking averages, or if we have data that's actually normally distributed, it makes it it's a perk, but not a great value in and of itself for control charts. But we run across circumstances where we use a normal distribution very, very often. And even though we're reliability engineers and dealing with starting at time zero and going to plus infinity with, say, a Weibull distribution or exponential distribution, there's many cases where, like in control charts, where we need to deal with what we would typically call quality or quality attributes of a system. Remember that if something doesn't meet the requirements, which is one way of thinking about quality, or the lack of quality, is that we have a failure. And so controlling that and monitoring it, measuring it, setting specifications, and so on, all make sense that we understand the statistics that go behind it in order to minimize field failures. Well, the standard normal distribution, as we mentioned in the brief section about introducing the various distributions, is one distribution, and it often has we often have access to a table that makes calculating the probabilities from a normal distribution pretty straightforward. So let's talk about that just briefly, and it's related to control charts, and hopefully you'll see how here briefly. Now, the z-value is nothing more than the count of standard deviations from the mean. And I don't know, I've gotten wrapped around the axle all kinds of times as to what it really means. But basically, I've come to the conclusion and haven't found anything that contradicts it. But it's basically converting my data such that the mean is zero and the standard deviation is one. And then if I'm interested in a probability of, say, something greater than three standard deviations away, I can do that using the standard normal table, or if it's between two values or whatever, I can calculate the probabilities very quickly. Now, remember that the normal distribution doesn't have a closed form solution for the integral and so on. So the tables make it, and the ability to normalize the data to a standard normal set of tables or set of numbers allows us then to make meaningful calculations very, very quickly using standard normal tables and then convert it back to our particular real data. And so let's take a look at some of the characteristics of the standard of the normal curve, standard normal also, and then look at the transforms. So this is a plot of a crudely drawn normal distribution, and I've marked out the various standard deviations going from the mean value out. So it's plus or minus three standard deviation are indicated here. And we've used these terms a couple of times, but it's something to just imprint on your active memory, is that plus or minus one standard deviation is 68.2%, plus or minus three is 99.7%, and so on. And that's how much data under that curve or that histogram fall within those ranges. Now, having these numbers also allows you to calculate, well, what proportion of my data is going to be above one standard deviation? All right, well, we know that 50% are below the average value, and then it's plus 34.1%. to get up to the plus one standard deviation. And so it's 84.1%. I don't even need a calculator to do that. And so on. So it can make the calculations pretty straightforward if we can relate it to the number of standard deviation away. And even just remembering these three values allows us to do some of the basic calculations. Now, if somebody asks for, well, what's the chance of it being four standard deviations away or 2.5 standard deviations away or so on, you can see that if you know those percentages, you can calculate those values very quickly. And so that's what the standard normal tables are about, is that it has a much finer gradation of what's the area under the curve at some given point. And we'll explore that in a moment. But first, you got to convert your data. It's rare that we're dealing with a set of data that comes from a distribution that's centered at zero and has a standard deviation of one. It's possible. I'm quite sure it is possible. But what we're going to do is we're going to transform that data. So it's very similar structure to what we use for the spec limits and the capability index, right? Is we're looking at what's the number of standard deviations our spec limit is away from our mean value. And it's a similar structure to when we're calculating capability indices. It's relating a distance to the standard deviation. And it allows us, so it's a distance to the spec divided by the spread. It's a ratio. But if you look at it a little closer, what we're actually doing is saying, here's my distance to the specification, and well, how many standard deviation is that? That's why we're dividing by S, the standard deviation value. And that gives us a value that, let's say the process has got a one capability. We know that the spec is three standard deviations from the center of our data. And if our standard deviation then is from that same set of data, which it is bound to be, we would get three for the upper limit. For this, the Z value going to the upper limit. So it takes three standard deviation to get to that limit. So that's what the Z value is. It's just the count of standard deviations over a distance of interest. Now, the typical way of doing this is that we convert our data to a standard normal. We take our individual data points and subtract out the mean and divide by the standard deviation. And that gives us a Z value. Allows us to make a judgment as to where's this data, what's the probability of it being outside a specific point. And so if I'm interested in, well, I should back up a little bit. The first thing I should recommend you do is when you see a problem that deals with this standard normal or normal tables is draw the problem. So in this case, I'm interested in say the probability of being above two standard deviations. And so I draw a quick little normal curve. I mark out roughly where this two plus two standard deviations is and then shade in the area that I'm interested in. And that area, if you recall, is the probability of the events occurring above that point on the curve. So that's if I calculate the Z value, that's that deciding point. In this case, say more than two standard deviation. The shaded area is is the probability of a point landing to the right of that Z value. Now, if you look at a standard normal table, you're going to see a little drawing, much like this drawing, that shows what probability are they tabulating within the table. And I'll show a couple different normal tables and show how to calculate a particular value or two in a different exercise. But the notion here is that if you draw the problem and you're looking for something greater than a particular value and you can calculate the Z value, you can use the standard normal table then to calculate that probability and then you're done. In some cases, you're given a probability and you can then use that value to back calculate out a Z value and transform it back into the units that are associated with your data. And that allows you then to find what 10% of your population is above a particular value. You can calculate that value. So it comes in handy a couple different ways. And sometimes you'll have drawings that are a bit more complicated. Let's say you want to find the values that are within a particular range. We'll calculate the two different tails, and one minus that gives you the area in the center. Or you want to find the values that are within a very narrow slice, say here to here. Well, calculate the area under that plus the area here and do the difference, and that leaves you the area in the slice. There's one way to do it, and so on. But a drawing of the problem will help you then interpret, are you on the right track or not, and using your table to find the right calculations. Now, I should mention that not all tables calculate values like this. Sometimes they give you the area to the left of the z-value. Sometimes they only give you half the value to the left or to the right of your z-value. And sometimes it's only on the left-hand side. Now, the charts are symmetrical, so whether it's on the right or the left side usually doesn't make much difference. But as you're interpreting your particular problem, is matching up the to the table you're using to make sure you get the signs correct, that you're getting the right kind of probability for the problem you're trying to solve. So read the problem and draw it out. So to reinforce that, let's do a quick exercise. So let's say I've got a population of weights, people, and I've got 150 pounds, standard deviation 20 pounds. So what's the probability of being of a student weighing more than 175? So the drawing is going to be very much like the one on the last page, where I do a quick normal curve. A little practice, they can actually look kind of normal, unlike mine. And then I want to get, so I have a 150 pounds, standard deviation is 20. So I got 170, 190, and 210 is 1, 2, and 3 standard deviation above it. So I know that my data is 175 and above. A probability of a student weighing more than, which would be to the right of, 175. All right, well, the standard normal table at this point doesn't help me. So, but I do know that I'm a little bit more than one standard deviation above, but not more than two standard deviation above. So I'm looking to do a transform, and I should get a number between one and two, closer to one in this particular circumstance. So I do a little drawing. The area I'm interested is in to the right, happens to be the drawing I did earlier. I do the transform. So I'm interested in the probability above 175. So I subtract the mean value, divide by the standard deviation. That gives me the number of standard deviations above the mean. It gives me this z value, this point. And it's 1.25. And it's within the range that we expect. So I go to the standard normal table. I look for 1.25. And I do a quick look here. I've got it open. It's 10.56. And that's the probability if from this population of 150 pounds plus or minus, or with a standard deviation of 20 pounds, that I would have somebody from that population selected that weighs more than 175. Not sure if that would be useful in any particular case, but let's say you're sampling a lot of material or you're looking at doing inspections or whatever. What's the chance of observing something that's 175 or higher given that you've got these parameters? Straightforward, direct use of the Z tables, standard normal tables, to calculate a probability of something occurring. Pretty straightforward. Takes a little practice. Try it a couple of times. Make sure you're familiar with your normal distribution, your normal standard normal table, and then do the drawings so that you can interpret the results accurately. Now, this brings up this notion of how do you know the data is normal? So if you're given a data set, and is it normal or not? Can you work with individual data and go directly to the standard normal table? Or should you take averages and basically invoke the central limit theorem and then use the standard normal table? So there's many different ways to check for normality, including histogram, which is basically plot the data and see if it's symmetrical and bell-shaped roughly. Depends on how much data you have. But there are other ways. And so you should be familiar with those ways. And that's, I'm going to leave that outside the course, a little bit of homework for you of how you would do this. For testing purposes, it's unlikely you'll have to check data for normality because it typically takes a bit of work or manual graphing or using a stats package to do those calculations. But there are many ways to check. So next, we'll talk about the relationship between capability and control charts.